All right, this morning, if you have your Bibles, we are in the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew. And early on in the book of Matthew, we've seen the ministry of John the Baptist, and we've seen how that our Lord came to him to be baptized of him. And John the Baptist said to our Lord, I need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? No. But the Lord, people don't understand, the nation of Israel was in a state of apostasy. And John the Baptist's ministry was a ministry, we'll read this in our text as we get there, but basically the Old Testament scriptures promised that Elijah would come before the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when Jesus said to them, and the way it's translated, I'll change this the tenses a little bit to make it make sense to this. If you would have received me, then John the Baptist would have been Elijah. Okay. So when it says, people get confused about the fact that if you would receive it, John the Baptist is Elijah. Well, but you have to put in that, that aspect of our language which poses a condition. If you had received me, then Elijah would have been, or John the Baptist would have been Elijah. But then we have to think about the omniscience of God. What is omniscience? Omniscience means that God knows everything. Omnipotence means he's all-powerful, that he can do anything that's within, that's consistent with his will. Omnipresence means he's everywhere present at once. Now, we know in this age, from the 14th chapter of John, that we're indwelt by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So wherever we are, the entire Godhead is always with us. Okay? We can not be any place where God isn't present with us. But by the same token, God superintends his creation. Now, we don't know how vast space is, but the most powerful telescopes can't reach into the furthest or the aspects of space. We can see so far, but then we can't see beyond that. And then, of course, we've sent probes into space and everything, and man keeps looking for a route of escape. He keeps looking for basically another Earth. If you think about this Earth that we dwell on, about two-thirds of the surface of the Earth are the seas, salt water. Salt water, by virtue of the salt, keeps everything that's in it from rotting. And then the moon, because the Earth rotates once a year around the sun, and then in what's 27 some odd hour days, the moon makes one rotation around the Earth, the place where the moon is with respect to the Earth, we have high and low tides, okay? And so with those tides, that keeps all of those seas in motion, And by keeping it in motion, it keeps it from decaying. Then we have the sun. And, of course, in the new heaven and the new earth, there's not going to be a sun, just the Son of God. He will be the light of the new heaven and the new earth. But at the present time, with our present earth and two-thirds of the surface of the earth, nominally speaking, is salt water, then the sun shines and causes distillation, and that distillation causes the waters to rise up into the air, but it's a distillation process, so the salt remains in the sea. Yeah. So now we have fresh water in the air in clouds. And, you know, this year is very much like it was when Joanne and I and the kids came here back in 1960. You know, we've had a long, what do you want to call it, a long winter. And we're supposed to be into spring, but we're still having rain very often, you know. And these crazy people that want to talk about climate change, climate change is four times a year. Yeah. Now, the closer that you live to the equator, the less change you see. So I grew up in Southern California, which is, you know, quite a bit above the equator, but Southern California noted for its good weather. Yeah. Some pretty miserable weather from time to time, too. But, you know, after World War II, so many people passed through California as they were being trained to go into the military. We had just an explosion of population in California back then. And we moved out when I was a sophomore in high school. We moved to Norwalk, from Compton to Norwalk. And then Norwalk saturated after about 3 years. So you can't get any more people in there. You know, it was a little bit more than 3 years, but it saturated at about 100,000 people. And it jumped from, you know, about 15,000, about like Junction City, to 60,000 people. That's somebody's telephone.
It's just Adrian.
The only time Josh
would. Okay. Anyway, the little town that I moved out to was about 16,000 people. Something, I don't know what the population of Junction City is, but then that town went from what it was in 3 years to 60,000. And then it's saturated at 100,000, and it can't get any bigger, you know, then, unless it somehow or other incorporates more space. Okay. I don't know why I'm talking about that. But the bottom line is, you know, we are living in the latter days. And back in the 80s, because of a word that has to do with generation, and generation is used in the scripture. It can designate a period of time, or it can designate an age and or a people. And Jesus said, this generation shall not pass till all these things become, to come to pass. Well, back then, we're about 40 years after Israel became a nation, May 14th, 1948, at 48. 40 years to that, 88. So I was, looking at events with respect to the second coming. And, you know, we were anticipating, because at that point in time, we didn't know whether generation should be used as a people, which is the way it actually should be used, or a period of time. So it wasn't a period of time, it's a people, it's the nation of Israel. And if you think about Israel, once they fought their war of independence, they have had repeated wars again and again and again. And now people look at Israel because of their military strength as the big bully in the Middle East. Yeah. And all that Israel has ever done, you know, they were willing to, when the United Nations voted to partition Palestine, the Arabs opposed it. The Jews, you know, they think, well, if that'll put us back in the land, we'll agree to it. And so they're back in their own land. God promised that they would be back in their own land. Look how many years elapse, you know, from the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 A.D. till May 14th, 1948. And actually, it was in November of 47 that the United Nations voted to partition Palestine. Now, the Jews weren't happy with the concept of partition, but partition came. You know, they were willing to accept that basis, so the Arabs will have part of it, we'll have part of it, but the Arabs said nay. You know, and they've been trying to fight and to destroy the Jews ever since. And because God said, this generation, nation, shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. You know, look where we are. You know, we've had war after war after war. And Israel is less than the size of New Jersey. And the Arabs own the rest of the Mediterranean world for the most part. You know, much of Africa, all of the area, Turkey, on into Germany and the western part of Europe. Now there's masses of Arab populations. Yeah, and but the promise is, God is not going to fulfill His promise to the world in Esau. He's going to do it in Jacob. And so we have the nation of Israel destroyed in 70 AD because of the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, in basically scattered amongst the nations of the world for all of those years up until May 14th, 1948. And she became a nation again. No nation in the world that has ever gone out of existence has come back into existence, except Israel. And we have the Balfour Agreement and a number of things along the way. My history, I'd have to refresh it to speak about those things with sense once again. But what we're looking at, we had a promise to preserve Israel. And then we have a promise that if the Jews had received John the Baptist as Elijah, he would have been Elijah. But then we have to think about it. God is omniscient. So in His omniscience, God knows that the Jews are not going to receive the Christ. The majority of the Jews were contented with their position under the Roman government. They were contented with their various false forms of worship in the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Herodians. Yeah. But the scripture says, with respect to the Jews, and they did this with John the Baptist, they did it also with the Lord Jesus, the common people heard Him what? Gladly. Okay. But the majority, they were afraid that if they gave any indication, it didn't make any difference what their scripture said. Many of them understood He's got to be the Christ. But they wouldn't put their faith in them because of their political bias. We don't want things to change. And when you look at what's happened from when Trump was president to Biden as president, and I don't care whether you're Democrat or Republican, the powers that be are ordained of God. And when we look at that election, we can see we saw a fraudulent election, but nobody on the Republican side would fight for the fact that Trump should have won it. He had it at midnight, and then they dragged out false ballots that they have on film, and yet Biden, all of the never-Trumpers and the career politicians they faded away. They didn't have an ounce of conviction to fight for what had taken place. And really what the Democratic Party is trying to do, and many liberal Republicans as well, they're trying to make a one-world government, socialism worldwide. Well, they're going to get it. They're going to get it under the Antichrist. Now, Israel, we're looking at John the Baptist here. John the Baptist, if the nation of Israel would have received him as the forerunner of Christ, then he would have been Elijah. But God in his omniscience knew, of course, that they wouldn't. Okay? So then here we are politically in a world, and we know the coming of the Lord is getting nearer and nearer, but we don't know the exact day or the exact hour. We're just told to be faithful to that which was committed to our trust until the Lord says, come up hither. And I suspect, at my age, it'd be 90 on Wednesday, if I make it that far. But, by and large, except for my heart's been out of rhythm for the last several years, and that leaves me worn out. But I can still do what God has called me to do, with Arab or Eric, Arab. Did your name is Arab? Eric, he covers a lot of the bases, and then I can cover the rest of the bases. And we work together, and it's been working just fine. And one of these days, if the Lord decides to take me before he decides to take all of us, and I've always kind of thought that I might be alive at the coming of the Lord just because of where we are prophetically speaking in the world. Whether that'll happen or not, I don't know. It doesn't make any difference. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and to depart and be with Christ is what? It's far better. So when we look at John the Baptist, I wanted to explain that business about where the Lord said, well, if you would have received it, and really, if you'd received John the Baptist as Elijah, he would have been Elijah, but you didn't receive it. Now God in his omniscience knew they wouldn't receive it, so there was no way that John the Baptist was going to be Elijah. Does that make sense? In other words, in God's omniscience, Elijah must still come. And let's turn over to the 11th chapter of the book of the Revelation. Revelation chapter 11. All right, here we go. I'll get there eventually. There we are. And there was given me a reed, like unto a rod, a measuring, a measuring stick, like a yardstick. But the Jews used them for a particular measurement, and I don't know exactly how long it was. And the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not. For it's given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. So this is the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation period. And I will give power unto my two witnesses. Now, if we go back to the Old Testament scriptures, there were two men in the Old Testament that didn't die. They were translated into heaven. It's appointed unto man what? Once to die. So Enoch and Elijah both have to come back to the earth, and so that puts us in perspective. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands. Translated it candlesticks, I guess because the British use candles. But in Israel, in that part of the world, at the time of the writing, they used oil. It was olive oil. Now you can make many different presses of olive oil. The first press, that's what they, extra virgin, And then they can press it again and press it again. And then you get down to the lesser, forms of olive oil. And then the lower forms is what they, in that age, they used. For lamps like Aladdin's lamp. Looks like a little teapot, you know, and full of oil with a wick coming out the spout. All right. And so he says, these are the two olive trees and the two lampstands. You know, don't we put our lamps, even though they're electric, we put them on, you know, end tables and so forth like that. Well, that's what you've got here. So these are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. So when Enoch and Elijah are going to come back to the earth, those people in this one world system under the Antichrist, there will be those that will oppose them, and they'll just literally, you know, kind of like a dragon. Puff. Isn't that, wasn't that his name? Puff the magic dragon? Sure. Okay. These have power to shut heaven that it rain not. So if they want to stop the rains, they can stop the rains. Now that's not within the capacity of man. We can guess at what the weather might be, and with satellites and so on and so forth, we are, you know, a little more accurate than we used to be, but they're still wrong a good percentage of the time because we don't know what the wind is going to do. So you can have a storm off here and it's moving towards Oregon, and all of a sudden it turns and goes north to Alaska or to Canada or south to California. So predicting the weather is kind of a tough proposition. Okay. So these men have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and they have power over waters to turn them to blood. Remember when the Jews were in Egypt, and one of the judgments upon the goddess of or the god of water, God brought a judgment on Egypt and turned the water into blood. They couldn't drink it. And so these have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. So obviously, since it's plagues, and these men are men of God, they would like to kill them, and they eventually will, because they haven't died, and they have to come back to this earth to die. And when they shall have finished their testimony, this ought to be very comforting to every one of us as believers in Jesus Christ. You know, we do not know the day of our death. You know, we don't know the day, exact day of the coming of the Lord. We know from certain prophetic events, Israel's a nation again, back in their own land. They've been there ever since May 14th, 1948. So that's, 52 years, plus 22 years. So 74 years Israel has been a nation. Now, and the Arabs swore at the time that the United Nations in November of 47, when they decided they were going to offer Israel the opportunity and the Arabs the opportunity to partition Palestine, to make it both an Arab and Jewish state. And the Arabs were completely opposed to it. And the Jews figured, well, if we're going to get a state, this is what we're going to have to do. And at various other times prior to that, back in the history of Jews, they talked about taking some land in Africa and making a Jewish state there in different parts of the world. But God's word says that they're going to be back in Israel. Yeah. And when you look at what the Jews were promised, basically, it really goes back to Abraham. But everywhere that he put his foot, everywhere the Jews put their foot. So from Ur of the Chaldees up through the Euphrates River, follow the Euphrates River up to its headwaters, which are up above Syria, and then over the Fertile Crescent, down into Syria, all the way through Israel, all of the Sinai Peninsula, all of Arabia, you know, plus all the way over to the, it's the Nile River. Okay. And on Aswan Dam, is that right? Yeah, I think that's right. But anyway, all of that belongs to Israel by God's promise. They've never held it ever, you know, but in their wanderings and so forth, they walked over it. And God says, okay, you put your foot there, it's going to be yours. You know? And then he says, okay, and when they shall have finished their testimony, and this is true of me, this is true of you, this is true of Eric, we all have, as believers in Jesus Christ, at least one spiritual gift. Pastor has to have many. You know? It just means he's got more responsibility. You know? But in order to be able to preach the Word of God, you have to have discernment and a memory and this and that and so on and so forth. And the beautiful thing about preaching the Word of God is that I never know, you know, I'm planning on teaching in the book of Matthew, but I don't know what I'm going to actually preach till I actually preach it. And you say, how can you do that? Well, I prepare. I'm ready to do what, you know, the very next thing in the string. But when we begin to preach, it happens with Eric, and it happens with me. The very first words out of our mouth set the tone of where we're going. You know? And this message is entirely different than what I planned. You know? But you know, what we have to learn is we're indwelt by the Spirit of God. Each one of you are indwelt by the Spirit of God. We have an online ministry so that all of the messages that we preach, generally I try to get them online the very day that they're preached. You know? And so if we go out to breakfast on Sunday morning, I might not get them there till Sunday evening. But then, you know, I never let it go on into Monday or Tuesday or anything like that. I learned long ago the way to get things done. And Joanne used to, she would say, would you do this? And I would jump up and do it. Well, you don't have to do it right now. I said, if I don't do it right now, it might not get done. Yeah. And, you know, if you take care of things right now, don't let them build up. It'll be much more efficient. And now, that's part of my personality. I grew up in the Great Depression, born on in June 22nd, 1932. I think the crash was in January of 1933. So all of my childhood was in the Great Depression. And you know what? Back there, then, folks, you could actually buy something for a penny. You know, I don't know what you get a gumball out of a machine for now. What is it, a quarter? It's 50 cents now? Got to put 2 quarters in. Yeah. Okay. I haven't done that for a long time. Used to be you put in a penny and got the same one or the same size jawbreaker, bubble gum, whatever it happened to be. And I don't know what they charge for a Snicker candy bar that's about that long, you know, the little standard Snicker candy bar, 5 cents. What is it, a buck or more?
Like dollar at Dairy Mart, yeah.
Okay. See, yeah. You know, they just make the numbers bigger. Say, well, in my experience in life, I don't know. You know, even when I owned my own radio business, I don't think I ever made, well, back then, when I started my own business, this was back in the 80s, Eventually, after we got going, I think we made $20,000 a year. $20,000 a year today is poverty. Yeah. But $20,000 then was the most money I'd ever made in my life. But I don't know what I made per hour because, you know, the loggers would come in the afternoon. Somebody's got a phone beeping. When I hear things beeping, I look at the timer. It's okay. Okay, anyway, we've got a lot of inflation in the world.
You have to take care of yourself.
All righty. A lot of inflation in the world. But during the Depression, when I was about, I think I was nine when I always worked at something, some way to make some money, if you could. And I think I was about 9 years old. And the Depression started in 33, and it wasn't over until 44 in America. The rest of the world, it was over 3 years earlier. But in America, it was the third year of World War II before we got over the Great Depression. And everybody practically worshipped Roosevelt. You know. But Roosevelt would manipulate money and put it where he would get the most electoral votes. He was elected four times, and if he hadn't died, he'd probably still be president. You know. And I don't know why. Well, the day he died, all the kids were crying, so I was crying too. And I, right now, I kind of kick myself in the butt. You wouldn't have voted for that liberal SOB. That's Southern Baptist. All right. But, you know, the bottom line is that the powers of the earth are ordained of God. He raises up the basis of men. You know, basis. That means the worst kind of guys to rule over us, okay? So let's go back to these, and I want to get back to John the Baptist. So these have power, in verse 6, to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and a power over water to turn them to blood. You know, I mentioned a little bit ago, the world's all concerned about the environment. Yet, how in the world are they going to charge? Everybody's converting to electric cars. And our power grid is tapped out right now. You know, unless we build some nuclear plants, you're not going to be able to charge the battery on your electric car. And the government's already promised they're going to have rolling blackouts. So guess what? You won't be able to go to work because you can't. Your car didn't get charged. I guess they'll give you a King's X. You remember when you're a kid, you crossed your fingers, you know, King's X. You can't tag me to be it because I got my fingers crossed. I think that's got something to do with the devil. Anyway, let's go back to that. So it says. They'll be able to smite the earth in judgment and so forth. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast, that's the false prophet, that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit, I believe the Antichrist will actually be Judas Iscariot. Who can best counterfeit the ministry of our Lord? When Jesus said, one of you shall betray me, what did they all say? Is it I? No, that doesn't sound right, but it is right. Anytime you use the verb to be, then it takes the objective case in the, or not the objective case, but the nominative case in the objective position. Yeah. So you answer the phone and they say, "Is that Dale? Are you Dale Laundrie?" I say, "I am he." Doesn't sound right, but it is right. Yeah. And I've noticed now, all the television shows never they never use the verb to be correctly. Yeah, back in the shows I watch, mostly I watch Hogan's Heroes. Love it. And I'll watch Perry Mason, you know. And back then, in the movies and in television shows, they, for the most part, they always use correct grammar. So, but when's the last time they say, "Are you Dale Andre?" And you say, or I say, "I am he." That doesn't sound right. I'm him. That's the way we would say it. But see, that's an objective case, and it's got to be in the, you know, the subject of the verb, the object of the verb is the same for one verb to be. The only conjugated verb in the English language, and we can never get it right.
That's why.
All right, let's go on. No more English lessons. And their dead bodies shall lie, in verse 8, in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom, that's Jerusalem, and Egypt, that's the world, Jerusalem. Both are the names, spiritually speaking, for Israel. Yeah. Where also our Lord was crucified, in Jerusalem. Yeah. Now, John the Baptist was John the Baptist. But if the nation of Israel would have accepted the Lord, but we have to put that in the omniscience of God. So God said that Elijah must first come. We're reading about Elijah coming over here in the 11th chapter of the Revelation during the Great Tribulation period. So was John the Baptist Elijah? No, John the Baptist was John the Baptist. No. Because God in his omniscience knew that the nation of Israel would reject him, just like they would reject him. So when we read things like that, it's not a mistake. It's just from the perspective of an omniscient or all-knowing God, okay? And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies. So they're going to kill Enoch and Elijah because they're the only two people that went to heaven without dying. Yeah. One caught up in a whirlwind, remember that? Yeah. And so they were caught away to heaven. But what's the scripture say? It's appointed unto man what?
Wants to die.
Enoch and Elijah never died. They've got to come back during the tribulation period and die. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in grave. They want everybody to see that they're dead, laying in the streets in Jerusalem. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice. Yeah, they're under the reign of the Antichrist, but two actual prophets of God. Of course, they won't be able to kill the 144,000 because they were the first fruits of the Lord. And they were the dead that arose from the dead after Christ arose from the dead and showed themselves alive. So they're the first fruits. When the trumpet sounds, that's the main harvest. And those that are saved after the main harvest during the tribulation period will be the cleanings of the first resurrection. All part of the first resurrection. But now, the first fruits were nearly 2,000 years ago. And if the Lord were to come within the next year or two, that would be the main harvest. And then during the 7 years of the Great Tribulation, people that are saved will be put to death immediately for believing. And they will be the gleanings. You know, that's the last fruits that you pick off of the tree. Okay. All right. And they that dwell on the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. Everybody that dwells on the earth under the reign of the Antichrist will think he has a right relationship with God by the life that he lives. That's the lie of the devil. Yeah. What is, you know, we ask this all the time, and people miss the point. What is a knowledge of good and evil by definition? It's morality. What caused Adam and Eve to be lost? You know, they took a concept of morality, you know, a knowledge of good and evil from the devil, who said, this will make you like God. Now, what do the religious systems of the world put their trust in? The life that people live. You know, if you're a good person, Roman Catholics, we've got to come and make one final sacrifice. You know, I've got to say Mass for you just before you die. See? And the reason for that is they don't believe the Word of God. I give unto you what? Eternal life, and you shall perish when? Never. I just wish more believers or more professing believers actually believed that. But virtually every denomination under the canopy of Christianity, and even Baptists do it, if he was really saved, he wouldn't have committed adultery. Or if he was really saved, he wouldn't have committed murder. You know. Well, let's go back and look at some of the Old Testament saints. It wasn't murder when David killed Eliab, or Goliath. I'll get it out. Some things I know, like I know my own name, but even I forget that sometimes. Yeah, my memory isn't what it used to be, so I've got to get more oxygen to my brain, but my heart's not cooperating. It's out of rhythm. Okay, let's go back to our text, and we'll close this out for today. Back in the book of Matthew, the 11th chapter. Now, John the Baptist has been in prison. Why was he put in prison? Because, he pointed out the immorality of the ruler. You know, so, boy, you're going to into prison, and then you remember what was her name? Salome. She did a really sexy dance, really turned him on, and he said, you can have half of my kingdom. You know? And she asked her mother, her mother said, I want John the Baptist's head on a charger. You know? You really want to know how much the world hates those of us who teach not the lie of the devil? The lie of the devil is the religious systems of this world, and they're all based upon some form of morality. Varies from one system to the other, to the number of 4,000 different systems of, you know, what is a knowledge of good and evil? Well, it's a corrupted sense of a right and wrong, because it's not God's right and wrong. You know? And so man thinks by the life that he lives, you know, when he dies, I'll go to heaven because I was a good boy. You know, he forgets all the times that he, you know, did all kinds of things contrary to the law. We've all done it. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, what? No flesh will be justified in God's sight. But what happens under the canopy of Christianity? All of a sudden, Christ died for us, and they say, okay, that takes care of your sins. Now you have to live a good life so that you keep yourself safe. No. Do we have eternal life or not? Well, if you can lose it, it's not eternal. Okay. Just take the language of Scripture alone. And who denies that? Virtually every denomination under the canopy of Christianity denies the eternal security of the believer. You know? And Baptists who claim they believe in the eternal security of the believer will fudge a little bit and say, well, if you really commit a big sin, you weren't saved in the first place. You know? And it's sad. It's the lie of the devil that just keeps working to undermine the truth of God. And that's caused death in Adam and Eve, and that caused death in you and me. Yeah. Now, do we have to worry about our deaths? Not one bit. Yeah. The moment that the Lord says to me, Dale, it's enough, come home, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And to depart and be with Christ is what? Far better. And think about that. Not just better, but far better. That's what we have in heaven. But God gives us a strong sense of desiring life because he needs us on this earth to do what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have to have people, sinners, like you, like me. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. But we're declared to have the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ because he died for our sins. And if we believe it, we have eternal life. You know? And people want to fudge on that because everybody's caught up in the lie of the devil that we can somehow or other improve our status with God by acting in the lie of the devil. Does that make sense? You know, it doesn't make sense if we say it that way. But it makes sense if we operate in the lie of the devil, that makes us better? Can't be. But that's actually what every religious system in the world except biblical truth, whether it's under Judaism or whether it's under the canopy of Christianity, the truth that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by him. Every day of my life, I know I'm a sinner. And every day of my life, you have to be overwhelmed with God's grace, and grace is unmerited favor, that in God's grace, he chose to save you, he chose to save me. You know, it wasn't because you were a little better than somebody else. If that's the case, then we have whereof we can boast. And yet the scripture says that we're saved by grace through faith and not of works, lest what? Any man should boast. Our relationship with God is of God. It's by God. It's through God. And if it's not, you're going to hell. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for your wonderful love and goodness to us. We thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ and that it's by grace through faith, which is a gift from God. So there's nothing about it of which we can boast, but we can all operate in the truth of the saving grace of Jesus Christ with the spiritual gifts that you've given us in which we're to operate by faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please you. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.